We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
David, how close have the Penguins been in the past to trading for Galchenyuk?
Very. There was a ton of interest going back to when he was with Montreal. The two previous seasons he was there, the year last year, last summer, when he got traded to Arizona, Pittsburgh was right there. And he was made aware of it. He knew that it was a possible destination. They knew, their camp knew that the Pittsburgh Penguins were one of the teams that were very interested in this guy when the Canadiens kind of set their sights on moving him officially last June. And they couldn't get a deal done. Bergevin, the GM of the Montreal Canadiens, was a little bit reluctant to keep Galchenyuk in the Eastern Conference and put him on a team that has so much potency like the Penguins. The trade ended up obviously working out for the Canadiens. They get Max Domi, who had a career year. But now Galchenyuk is a guy, like I said, that they targeted for a while. Pittsburgh Penguins are high on him. The contract year plays a factor, certainly. Listen to you guys talking about that. Definitely plays a bit of a factor here for him to motivate him a little bit further, not only to be excited to be part of the Pittsburgh Penguins, but also playing for a new contract, certainly expecting a big year from Alex Galchenyuk. And this is a guy, like I said, the team had their sights on. They finally get him, and now it's a matter of him proving his worth.
Dave, when I hear all that about the contract year, I guess it just gives me pause. I can visualize the good part of this. He comes out extremely motivated on a team that's sort of the diametric opposite of the Coyotes in terms of how they want to play hockey, how they always have, and maybe he puts up a huge number, 30-plus even, and really jumps out to people. But then I think, why are there so many concerns? Why is there so much being said and people aren't shying away from it, talking about this guy's motivation? What is the real read on Alex Galchenyuk?
Well, this is a guy that I've known since he was 17 years old, the year before he was drafted third overall by the Canadiens. Certainly, his motivation is to win. He wants to be in an environment that accepts him, that he can kind of spread his wings, so to speak, and allow him to play his style of game, which is an offensive-minded style of game. He's got the foot speed, he's got the eye for the net, he's got the finish. It's a matter of allowing him the opportunity to play at his game. And rather than trying to harness him as, say, a centerman or trying to make him more responsible defensively, there's only so much certain players can get to when they're out of their comfort zone. And that's what the Canadiens for a while had tried to do with him, and it just didn't work out. And, certainly I've heard all the stories about the stuff away from the ice and all that jazz, and that gets to certain players from time to time throughout their careers. I can tell you, knowing this individual, absolutely motivated to win. That's the primary focus for him. He was really excited about this move because I can tell you, this is a team that, as I mentioned, was eyeing him for a while. There was a lot of excitement when this actually went down, and that alone is a big enough motivator. The contract year situation for a lot of guys at this age and at this point of their careers, this is the you-know-what or get-off-the-pot moment for them. And it's not a matter of just cashing in on the next contract. It's a matter of maintaining that stability of performance. And sometimes you need a bit of an eye-opener. The trade, a second one for him in a matter of 12 months, certainly that plays a factor. But being on a team like Pittsburgh, really excited to be part of it, I see a differently motivated player, one more positively than what had happened in the previous 12 months.
David Pagnotta, NHL Network radio analyst, reporter, host, Fourth Period, joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. Can you give us any more insight, David, on the inner workings of this trade, if you could? Do you know if there were guys maybe the Penguins wanted who Arizona pulled back and said no to? Do you know from talking to people if Galchenyuk was the main piece they wanted, or is it P.A. Joseph, the young defenseman that they also got back in the deal? And how much do you know about Phil Kessel's desire to play in Arizona?
Well, Galchenyuk was the first guy that they targeted. If they were going to move Phil Kessel, they wanted a player who would come back and be able to have an immediate impact on the roster in some capacity. So he was the first piece that they kind of went with. When things went south with the Minnesota Wild, John Chyka, their general manager in Arizona, reached out again to try to see if there was an opportunity to make a move happen. And that's when Pittsburgh effectively voiced or reiterated their desire to have Galchenyuk as part of this deal. Then the other kind of, you know, pieces fell into place, and that was effectively Joseph coming in there, the first-round pick a couple of years ago. His brother plays in the league. This is a guy that certainly has a lot of upswing, a lot of upside, and a player that they can, you know, potentially utilize on their back end, if not this season, then perhaps next after a little bit of grooming within the organization. Phil Kessel's no trade list, trade list was positioned specifically and strategically so that it would almost direct him exactly where he wanted to go. And I think for Phil, it was trying to get out of you know, a hockey hotbed like Pittsburgh, obviously in Toronto and Boston prior to that, but getting into an environment that's going to allow him just to be a little bit out of the spotlight a little bit more and just focus on his game and focus on what he wants to kind of accomplish both on and off the ice. And I think being in Arizona and Glendale and with everybody there is going to give him enough of the ability to kind of, I don't want to say hide, that's not really the right word, but just get away, like I said, get away from that spotlight, just to allow him to feel more comfortable and being loose than he would have, you know, in a market like Pittsburgh or Toronto or something like that.
David, I wanted to switch gears a little bit here, and we know that the Penguins got Tanev and signed him for a deal that was kind of looked at with an interesting eye around the league, a lot of term and maybe a lot of money. And now that seems like it's going to necessitate Jim Rutherford pulling the trigger on another deal. Are you hearing anything about players that are being dangled, things that that the Penguins might do between now and the start of the season?
I don't think there's a sense of urgency at this point. They've got still a little bit of space for, you know, with respect to the salary cap. I think just around 1.6, 1.5, 1.6, something like that around the salary cap. I don't believe there's a sense of urgency at this stage to pull the trigger on a deal or to look at making another type of move that may give them a little more flexibility from a cap perspective. Certainly still looking to see if there are bargains that are out there. The free agent market has taken a considerable shift. You know, in previous years, it's the first day of free agency is always the big one. The second day, there's, you know, one or two guys that sign, and the third day is usually when the rest of the crop or the bulk of the crop kind of finds their new home. It's a little bit different this year, and we're starting to hear a little bit more trade chatter across the board for teams that are interested in guys to try to shed some salary. But because there's so many clubs that are kind of in that same realm, guys, the sense of urgency across the board is diminished or has diminished quite considerably. So for Pittsburgh and Jim Rutherford, if they are looking to pull the trigger on something else or add another depth forward to their bottom six, I think they're going to start to take a look at what the bargains might be out there and then, you know, look for some avenues in terms of shedding a roster spot or some salary a little bit later. Remember, all teams have some flexibility with respect to the salary cap. They can go 10% over the cap at any point during the offseason for as long as they need to until the first day of the NHL regular season. So a lot of teams have a little bit more flexibility in what they want to do and how they want to shape their roster come October.
David Pagnone, NHL Network Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at the fourth period. He'll give you information on deals that are in the works, both signings and trades, and was all over Galchenyuk coming back to the Penguins for Kessel. Because you're so dialed in, David, I got to ask you about Jack Johnson because he was on his way to Minnesota before Kessel nixed the deal. Do you know if the Penguins tried to sneak him in to the trade with the Coyotes? Have they been working to deal him? Have you heard any whispers from maybe Johnson's camp that he's put off now, that he was basically one player's preference away from being on another roster for next year?
Yeah, I think Jack's the guy that they're probably going to look to again to see if they're going to make another move. And if they have to shed a little bit of extra salary, he's probably the guy that's going to end up going. Talking to his camp, I don't think the writing was necessarily on the wall or still is, but there was at least some level of respect that was sent to him to say, look, there's some possibility that we may have something here. Just, you know, keep your guard up. Don't be, you know, we don't want to catch you off guard. Where you may end up, we don't know. but there's a possibility something may happen. So at the very least, he's well aware that, that there's something that could happen anytime between, you know, basically now and September, October. But really looks like he's going to be that guy if the Pittsburgh Penguins need to free up a little bit of extra space to kind of solidify that bottom six, or perhaps look for a cheaper replacement in a bottom pair role on that on the blue line. But Jack's future with Pittsburgh at this point, I would say 50-50, I just because it's a little bit too early to tell, because I don't think anything is imminent at this point. And with respect to Arizona, I didn't get a sense that that was the case in that regard. Minnesota was looking to kind of shed a little bit of extra salary to try to make things work, which is why you had both Jason Zucker and Victor Rask as part of it. For Arizona's perspective, they were willing to take on the extra $1.9 million that kind of went on top of what Galchenyuk was making. So I don't see Johnson being a fit there or really ever was in discussions. But like I mentioned earlier, Pittsburgh's looking to fill another void somewhere else on that roster and need to shed space. Certainly looks like Jack Johnson's going to be that guy if they come down to making a move.
David, I mean, Jack Johnson was not popular with the majority of fans here, I would say. He was a whipping boy for a lot of the struggles that the team had on defense, and people just zeroed in on him, and a lot of advanced numbers not kind to him. Is there a market of teams, you think, that actually see him as a useful player if they were to be involved in a trade for him? Do you think he has, you know, around the league, some fans still in front offices who think he can be a solid NHL defenseman?
There are. And the way that you look at some of these players, specifically on the defensive side of things, I know, you know, defense is the primary position, but these guys are more offensively minded. And you look at another free agent in Jake Gardner that's out there right now. He is a one-dimensional offensive-minded defenseman. You want him to take the puck from his zone, bring it into the offensive zone, create some offensive opportunities. He's the guy to do it. If you're expecting him to come back on the back end and really help bail out your goaltender and be a defensive stalwart, it's just not his style. It's not his game. That's not what he was groomed to do. Jack Johnson's very similar in that respect. His primary focus and primary element to his game is being more offensive-minded than defensively sound. And there are teams that need that type of a player that are out there that are looking to kind of find that particular player, but more so at a bargain, especially at this stage. And there are teams like the Anaheim Ducks, like the Montreal Canadiens, like the Los Angeles Kings that are looking to shore up that back end. Obviously, Jack Johnson, a former King. But they're trying to find out where they can find the bargains right now. And that's why they're looking at some players that are out there as free agents, like a Ben Hutton, for example, that is still available. He's a UFA. There's interest in him. There's a few other guys that are out there. And if they can get a bargain deal for one of these remaining UFAs, then they'll pull the trigger and try to sign one of those guys. If they find that they're out of it, then they're going to resort back to finding where the options are across the league. And Jack Johnson is kind of on that list for a few of those teams, but not a priority at this stage.
David Pagnotta, NHL Network radio reporter, analyst, host at The Fourth Period on Twitter. Tanev, I've heard a lot, and we've heard some reporters out there say, look, there were as many as 10 teams who were in on this guy, but the Penguins, it sounds like, were the only team that was willing to go to the mat and give him 6 years. Can you confirm that, David, that there were a lot of teams who wanted the player?
Yeah.
And, like, who were they competing against? Like, if this was an auction process, who are the other teams that were bidding and were really involved in trying to secure Brandon Tanev's services?
Well, first of all, yes, there was a lot of interest in him. My understanding is there were a considerable amount of contending teams that are looking to add this kind of a player. Two-way, a little bit of edge to his game. Certainly not going to be, you know, a first or second line type of player, but a third line guy that in today's NHL that can play at both ends of the ice and has the foot speed in order to accommodate today's NHL. And you're looking at teams that are out there that are trying to add that. New Jersey was one particular club that was looking at him. The Tampa Bay Lightning were another team that were kind of knocking on the door to see what the price tag was going to be and if they were able to kind of get something done and round something out with him. Vegas, which has a ton of cap issues at this point, they're certainly right up against it. Another team that kind of knocked on the door to see if there was potentially some room to be made for that type of a deal. So you're looking at top-tier contenders that will really kind of zero in on him because you look at how the landscape of the league has evolved over the last few years. To have a player that can keep up with the pace of play, that isn't afraid to get a little mucky and grimy if they need to, and can contribute to an extent offensively, all of these contending teams and all of these Stanley Cup champions over the last few years have had that kind of element to their game. Not across the board, but one or two guys and that kind of bring a little bit of extra jam to the lineup and can get, you know, in the opposition's face if they need to. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to drop the gloves. It's not really his style. But being able to be a bit of an agitator and still contribute offensively and keeping up with that pace of play is important in today's National Hockey League. And it's changed over the last two, three seasons, but that's how it's kind of gotten to. So players like him, you know, you look at Michael Ferland that's still available out there. He's a similar type of player that brings a little bit of extra to the game. And there's a considerable amount of interest in him as well. It's just a matter of getting the number right. Pittsburgh felt that this was the route that they wanted to take to bring him in, and giving him as much as two extra years from some of the other teams kind of was the incentive to make this happen.
David, do you think the Penguins will re-sign Justin Schultz this offseason?
Oh, they'd like to. I mean, you know, from Pittsburgh's perspective, they want to be able to keep the bulk of the nucleus on that back end intact. And, you know, for a longer period of time, I don't think there's much of a sense of urgency from that perspective to necessarily have something done today, but it's certainly, you know, a subject that they'll get to in due course.
David Pagnotta, NHL Network Radio reporter, analyst, host. Thanks so much, David. We appreciate it today, man.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.